And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser, live here in Nashville. Joe Rex Road, up in Michigan, following a tough day yesterday for the Tennessee Volunteers. We're going to get into that all throughout the show today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are we doing?
About ready to come home, pretty much.
Yeah. When's have you been in our state in the calendar year of 2024? Starting to not feel like it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, and I see you guys are getting like 78 and sunny, and it's not that up here. So I've got some FOMO.
Yeah, it's been, I'll be honest with you, it's a pretty good weekend. Pretty nice weekend of weather. There's no question about that. Not to rub it in or anything, but it's feeling good this time of year.
Cool, thanks.
If it makes you feel any better, by the time you get back, we could have severe storms tomorrow. So there you go. Welcome back to Tennessee.
Really? Oh, that's just great. Thanks for letting me know.
You're very welcome. Nick Kieser, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Hope you had a good Easter weekend.
Yeah.
I know that Joe didn't get to probably have his Cadbury eggs with his family, but Joe, we will be glad to have you back tomorrow.
We will. The return of Rex Road.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be able to steal some of that when I get home, so don't worry. I'll make it happen.
We got a lot to get into on the program today. The Preds with another game dropped, this time at the hands of the Colorado Avalanche. We'll get into that at the 7 o'clock hour. Might be time to start playing a little defense if you're the Predators, giving up 15 goals in two games. So we'll get into that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Mark Byington, brand-new Vanderbilt men's basketball coach, will join us at 7:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him. And, of course, as always, our conversation with Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, the run is over for Tennessee. It comes to an end yesterday, 72-66 at the hands of the Purdue Boilermakers. Tennessee makes it to the Elite Eight after a thrilling win against Creighton on Friday night in what I thought was a really fun game. And then yesterday, just a battle between two really good teams, and that's what it was, basically from the opening tip yesterday to the final whistle, a battle between Tennessee, between Purdue, but really a battle between Dalton Connect and Zach Edey. And Purdue comes out on top yesterday, 72-66. They advance to the Final Four. Tennessee's season comes to a close. Joe, you were there, live and in person for this game. Your takeaways, your overarching thoughts from Tennessee being eliminated from the NCAA tournament yesterday against Purdue.
Yeah, you know, it was arguably a matchup of the two best players in college basketball. I mean, and look, we've talked about it all year, right, with those guys. And I'll say this, you know, I mean, the conversation around Zach Edey, first of all, the stuff that, like, Tennessee fans were saying during and after the game, some media saying too, and even, like, Rick Barnes throughout the game constantly complaining to the refs. It's every single game with Zach Edey. It's every single game. Like, every Big Ten team will tell you they had the same thing where it's like, how the heck did that dude get a million free throws and we got 10, right? You know? So the two best players in college basketball, I will say, one of them is much more fun to watch than the other. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, and that person is Dalton Connect, who, you know, man, he was unbelievable yesterday. He's been unbelievable. He's as talented a guy as Tennessee's had, you know, I do believe since Allen Houston, 30 years, and I think more fun to watch than Allen Houston, you know. But what Purdue does works, man. I mean, you know, it's hard. It's just like, oh God. They're just going to walk it up, and they're going to get it over here, and at some point they're going to find an angle and get that guy the ball. You know, but beyond that, it is not the most aesthetically pleasing basketball. But beyond that, I mean, I just thought the overall intensity of the game was just amazing.
Yep.
You know, it was everything that it was cracked up to be, and it was a Final Four level game. I mean, that was a good enough game to be a national championship game on a Monday. That was certainly a good enough game to be a national semifinal game. So, you know, I think the Vols do come away with some regrets. I mean, regret, you know, doesn't really help you. But there's just a few things in that game, really just a couple shots that if they go down, you know, some free throws from Sakai Ziegler. I mean, you know, you could you can find a lot of little things in there. And you can find, as we've talked about, the Kentucky and Mississippi State games, you know. I mean, good for Alabama that they've got their first Final Four ever. That was a lot of fun to watch. My goodness, wouldn't Tennessee have loved to be in the West as opposed to dealing with this? This was a home game for Purdue yesterday, you know, for a great team that I do think still has a chance to win it, as amazing as UConn looks. So, you know, that's really the thing that I think if they do better in those games, they get that one out West. And maybe right now we're talking about, you know, we're talking about Tennessee going to Phoenix.
Well, and you know, the thing that stands out to me yesterday is Dalton Kennett goes nuts. He's 14 to 31, 6 to 12 from 3, 37 points. And then really, other than that, there wasn't much offensively, right? I mean, Adu was a non-factor in that game yesterday. And non-factor may be strong. Like, he was a negative factor in that game yesterday for Tennessee. I did not think Ziegler was very good. And Ziegler ended up 3 of 12 shooting, 1 of 8 from 3, and just didn't hit open shots, was 2 of 5 from the line. Just one very good day for Zakai Ziegler. You know, Josiah Jordan James, you know, he hit his shots. He was 3 of 4. He was 2 of 2 from 3, but he didn't take very many of them. So there wasn't a lot of help for Dalton Kennett offensively yesterday for Tennessee. And against Purdue, you needed to have at least one other guy going, preferably like a Ziegler or, you know, an Adu, one of those two that have been kind of your two and three offensively all year long behind Kennett, and you just didn't get it yesterday. So, I mean, we're going to hear a lot today from Tennessee fans about the free throws, and I get it. You kind of went through the process there. I mean, honestly, we'll just go ahead and get to the officiating part of it, Joe, and this is my take on it, and you could say whatever you want to take. I mean, I didn't really have a problem with the fouls that were called on Edie. I mean, I don't know what you do with that guy. When he gets the ball that deep in the lane, I mean, he's 7'4", 300 pounds. I mean, most of the fouls that were called on him or against him were fouls. Like, Tennessee was fouling him. So I don't really have a problem with that. I do have a problem on the flip side of things. Like, you can't convince me in a game that was that physical, a guy that played the entire game and they called one foul against him. Because, I mean, I could tell you, too, that he fouled somebody on that they didn't call. He hit Iwaka right in the face, and they were battling for positioning, he and Iwaka, at another point in the game, and he basically hook and drug him over the top of his hip there. They didn't call that either. So the one gripe that I have with the officiating is, how in the world did you get through 40 minutes of basketball with a game that was as physical as that one was, with a 7'4" guy throwing people around, and he got one foul called against him? But that, I mean, I didn't think that was the difference in the game. I thought Tennessee, when they were fouling Edie, because, I mean, they didn't have any other choice. Otherwise, he's just going to go right over the top of him and have a dunk.
Yeah. No, I agree. Look, I mean, the fact that he got his first foul with like 9-something to go, and, you know, the Tennessee fans, you know, with the sarcastic, you know,
hey,
yeah,
finally, you know, look there.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, the Iwaka play for sure. I think there was a walk on him they didn't call. There was certainly. I do think he in general is very good at not fouling. Like, he's, you know, he's perfect. And the, I mean, the numbers kind of bear it out. Like, he has a lot of games where he doesn't, you know, he gets like one or two fouls.
Yep.
And so it's like, so a friend of mine, you know, brought up a good comparison yesterday when we were talking about it. He's like, it's the most like Shaq that he can remember, because it's like, you know, with Shaq, it was just like, you know, he just gets hammered, but he can't sit there and call fouls on everybody because that's all they can do to try to move him, you know, but it's so hard to officiate that. But I agree. I do agree. It's ridiculous to come away from that game and think that guy committed one foul. But yes, the fouls on the other end, it's just, So the number turns out to be 16 drawn by him and 1 committed, which again is like, I understand people saying, oh my God, are you kidding me? But like, he got fouled 48 times, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's very difficult for sure to officiate him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, another thing people brought up yesterday, and from my vantage point on Press Row, it's like, you're like floor level, so I couldn't tell. It seemed to me like he, you know, he does a pretty good job of setting up right outside the lane, right? But I know there were some video clips later where it's like, well, there he is.
There were definitely a few times he was in there for a long time. but
It's like I saw one play where it's like he sort of like made the like he made the effort of like going out and resetting, which I think they obviously gave him credit for, but he didn't actually leave the lane, you know? Right. So, I mean, it's, you know, again, it's not the most beautiful basketball. And so I get it, but man, it's, I mean, hey, if anybody's played youth basketball, you got the biggest kid and you're in a good, tough game. What are you gonna do? You're gonna go down there every time, you're gonna throw it to him. And that's what they do. And man, I will say that his play blocking connect late too was pretty, that was a big time play by him.
Huge play by him. I mean, he ends up with 40 points and 16 rebounds. So, I mean, that's a you're talking about from a stat line perspective. I mean, it's one of the best NCAA tournament games we've ever seen, right? 40 points and 16 rebounds for what he put together there. So, you know, obviously he made 14 shots from the free throw line, 14 of 22, but still, I mean, he was the plan offensively. That's the other thing, Joe. I mean, Purdue generally a pretty good three-point shooting team, and they were 3 of 15 from 3 yesterday. So, that was kind of keeping Tennessee in it for a while, the threes that they were missing, and it was basically just running the offense through Zach Edey, and he was either scoring or getting fouled, and that's what Purdue's offense was yesterday.
The game plan was correct and it worked, which was you don't let any of those other guys go off. If Lawyer went off on them in my now he did get going downhill to the rim a couple times and Tennessee let him get there. But it's harder to be in the gaps like normal when you're so worried about occupying the maple tree, you know. But the plan worked. It's just you need Edie to get 35. 30, not 40.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I thought, obviously nobody did a great job on him yesterday. I thought Estrella held his own about as fine as you can hold your own, especially for a freshman coming in that way. But, it was a game where, look, I mean, they needed more from Adu, but it's also a game where, Joe, we talked about this heading into the tournament. I mean, the matchup for Edie with Adu is just not a good matchup for Tennessee. And that was clear very early in that game yesterday.
Estrella would have been an incredible story out of this game had they won. Look, here's the thing with Adu. He took a couple shots that I guess you have a problem with him, but Adu gives up 70 pounds to Edie, and he could not push him out. He couldn't. And Estrella just has a little bit more core strength and did a better job. And Awaka obviously does too. So it was simple. Like Adu can't play in this game, you know? And I know he was really upset afterward. He didn't come out and talk. He hid in the locker room afterward, didn't talk to reporters and all that. And, I'm sure it was very disappointing, but like, sorry, man, like you can't do anything with this guy. I'll say that you mentioned the Ziegler not playing well. The thing is he has 9 points, 8 assists, 1 turnover, and his usual ridiculously great defense. He just could, the ball wouldn't go down
Good
for him. And
shooting.
you're to 39 minutes after playing 40, after playing 40. I mean, I think the legs finally caught up to him and that's where like a backup point guard who could give you like 6, 8 minutes really would have helped yesterday.
615-737-1025, our number. Tennessee eliminated from the NCAA tournament. We'll take your thoughts on a great game yesterday between Tennessee and Purdue. What did you make of the game? What do you make of this run for Rick Barnes in Tennessee? We'll take your thoughts on all that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We're excited to have Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning with us here as our sponsors for our Game Nashville studios. Taking your thoughts on the Vols, 615-737-1025, our phone number. They lose 72-66 to Purdue yesterday in the Elite Eight. Purdue advancing to the Final Four. Tennessee, a heartbreaking loss, and one win away from their first ever trip to the Final Four. They come up a little bit short yesterday. Your thoughts on all that? We've talked about the Edie part of this, 40 points, 16 rebounds, just an all-time performance from him yesterday. Dalton Connect with 37, so he goes out with a really good performance yesterday. The thing is, I mean, he had a couple of good looks, Joe, toward the end of the game, and one of them from the corner went basically halfway down as a three as they were kind of trying to draw even and keep it close late in the game. And had he gotten one or two more to fall and they were able to push that one either to overtime or have won the game outright, I mean, we'd be talking about Dalton Connect with one of those all-time performances today in the NCAA tournament too. But just the last couple of shots there, couldn't quite get those to fall for Dalton Connect.
Yeah, three, you know, minutes. So he was 14 of 28, and in the last 3 minutes, 0 for 3. And he had two pretty good looks at threes. One of them was, you know, pretty deep. But, I mean, the way he was shooting the ball, I mean, if you're Tennessee, yeah, you'll take those shots. I mean, like you said, this did turn into a little bit too much of the look around and watch Dalton game, you know. But, yeah, for Ziegler, I thought, most of his shots were good shots. Yeah, I mean, like, I'd probably say about of those seven misses, four of them were just, you know, an inch off. I mean, shoot, the Vols were, if you take away Ziegler, the Vols were 10 for 18 from three in this game, you know. And that, so, you know, James hit both of his. Jordan Gainey, you know, he would have been an unsung hero in this game. I thought both of his threes were like kind of, they really needed something. They were kind of desperate, and he hit, you know, hit both that he took. So, but when it came down to it at that point, yeah, you're going to go with, you know, you're going to go with Dalton Connect for sure. And just not quite there. Just didn't quite go down for him. Talk about, you know, guy who played 37 minutes and just so much on him, on his shoulders, you know, and like, Edie, he has improved a ton. He played 39 minutes, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot on his shoulders, but it is a little different the way he dominates a game, you know, compared to like what Connect must do, running around, running off screens, taking bumps. And there's another thing, if you want to talk about officials, I mean, I thought there were a couple of times he got bumped that he didn't get the call, you know. I mean, it certainly wasn't a perfectly officiated game, but yeah, I mean, Dalton Connect could be sitting here right now as a prime contender to be most outstanding player of this tournament, you know, depending on what would have happened in Arizona if a couple things go differently yesterday.
So, you know, in the first half, Joe, Tennessee, they get up to, I think it was a 32-21 lead at one point with the run that they went on. Then Purdue goes on their run after that. And at halftime, it's 36-34. And it was, you know, kind of a first half of a couple of different runs there. Connect in the first half. I mean, there was one point early in the game where he just started chucking it up there, and they were just falling for him. I mean, I think I saw you tweet about it. A couple other people was like, well, he checked time for Dalton Connect out there. That's basically what it looked like in the first half. You know, and then Purdue, after they were down 32-21, they made that huge run back. And, you know, Stilley's on Twitter screaming about how Rick Barnes needs to call a timeout and all this other stuff. But what did you make of Purdue's ability to respond to that and kind of that moment in the game where, you know, Tennessee had a double-digit lead at one point, and then Purdue was able to not only fight their way back but be winning at halftime. I thought that was, number one, a nice response by Purdue, but number two, kind of a missed opportunity by Tennessee to head into halftime with a little bit of a lead there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was the first half was just – was as extreme a game of runs as you can get, right? It's like Tennessee kind of looking good, you know, like up 17-12, and then all of a sudden Purdue comes and takes it, and you're like, you know, the building's kind of sensing a takeover, and then, you know, it was actually a James corner three off a Mayshak drive, puts them back up, and boom, all of a sudden. So that was a drought of 5 minutes and 35 seconds that James three ended. So, I mean, I don't know exactly when Stilley's talking about the timeout, but, you know, the weird thing about that 5 minutes and 35 seconds, Purdue only scored 7 points during that time. So it wasn't like a, you know, that stretch. It was just like both teams were kind of struggling. But, yeah, that was a huge moment, and that was a good timeout by Matt Painter for sure. 5 minutes left, down 11, and they come right out and, you know, they like get Lawyer, you know, you get Lawyer going to the cup. You know, you get a couple, actually, I thought Tennessee didn't have many like bad mistakes, but he did have like Ziegler threw one ahead to Connect there that was kind of over his head, you know? And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you could take a timeout there, I guess, but it was pretty quick, man. Like it was 8-0 in a minute. Let's see. Yeah, it was like 8-0 in less than 2 minutes, like a minute and a half. It's 8-0. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And then you get, because Lawyer got loose during that stretch. He was the only other guy in this game with double digit points other than the two big stars. That was really the only stretch of the game where he did anything. But he, that was his big contribution. So it was 10-0 quickly. And so that was a key run. There's no doubt about it. I mean, look, but also Purdue's up 8 in the second half, and it's about to get away from Tennessee,
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, good run, but it's not happening. I thought the fight they showed there was awfully impressive, and a lot of it was connect, but just everything, including Estrella, getting Edie to miss a shot and rebounding it and blocking Lance Jones at the rim and all, Gainey, one of those threes was in there. It was just such a battle.
So what will the legacy of this Tennessee team be? What does it mean for the Rick Barnes conversation as well? Now that the season has come to an end, we'll get Joe's thoughts on all that coming up next. Takes your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Tune in to 1025, 1063, The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today at Toyota.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. All you got to do, go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. Once again, that's leecompany.com/giveaway. And the 10K Power Play giveaway contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April the 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Vols eliminated yesterday in the Elite Eight by Zach Edey and the Purdue Boilermakers. Taking your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, what will the legacy of this Tennessee team be now that the season has come to a close? SEC regular season champions, a number two seed, the second Elite Eight appearance in program history. Still not able to break down the door and get to the Final Four, which a lot of people thought this could be the team that does it. But a classic game yesterday between them and Purdue. And, look, I said it heading in the weekend. I don't think there's any shame in losing to this Purdue team. They may very well go on to win the national championship here. But what do you make of this team, this group of players that they had, particularly led by Dalton Knecht as SEC Player of the Year and an All-American, obviously, and I think pretty clearly going to be a first-round draft pick. What do you make of where this team leaves its mark on Tennessee basketball history?
Well, is this the best team in program history?
I mean, I think so.
I think so too. It's the second team to get to the Elite Eight. The first one to get to the Elite Eight was a surprise. I want to say they were a six, right? I think they're like a six or a seven. They shocked Ohio State in the Sweet 16. I mean, I was there that night and could not believe it. Ohio State, I thought, was probably going to win it all that year. Actually, the thing about the 2010 season, by the way, total aside, it comes to mind because Robbie Hummel was there yesterday, and he's calling on radio, and he broke down crying after that game. For people who don't know, Robbie Hummel was an incredible player at Purdue, but in 2010, they were going to win the Natty. I mean, I believe that fully, and he tore his ACL like with a week to go in the season, and they went from I think the favorite to win the national championship to, I mean, they were out quickly, but that 2010 season, Ohio State was probably the second best team. And it turns out that Tennessee shocks them, loses to Michigan State in another, heartbreaker involving the foul line and everything, but that was the point being, that was, kind of a little bit of a surprise when you have a team that's great all year. And then you follow through in the NCAA tournament. That to me is, there's something different about that, and again, this could have been the only one seed in school history, and it probably should have been. And that's where, you can look back and, maybe the Mississippi State loss helped this team. So maybe in a way it kind of helped the run, but certainly it helped or hurt where they got put. I mean, someone on the text line said, I don't explain to me how they got in the same region as Purdue. I mean, they were a two seed, Purdue's a one seed. I mean, that's your answer. If you're a two seed, you're going to be someone else's two and someone's going to be your one. And so it made just as much sense for them to be here as, anywhere. But I do. I think it's the best team in Tennessee history. And SEC champions, champion of a great SEC. No matter what anyone says. By the way, Greg Sankey was here yesterday.
Did you say hi?
I did.
Did
I
you?
walked right by. Oh yeah. No. Mike Wilson and I are walking. I think it was Mike Wilson, and I walked right by him, and I was like, "Hey, Greg." And he absolutely did not look at me or say anything. I
Wow.
felt very bad. I know. Got totally stonewalled by I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the problem is. But anyway, his conference, obviously he's taking a lot of crap for the NCAA, well-deserved crap for the NCAA tournament expansion stuff. But the SEC stuff, yeah, hey man, it was great this year, and the Vols were the outright champions of that league, playing more of the contenders than anyone else did. It was a great team. And so, it's just too bad that because if you get the different draw, I think absolutely this team had everything, and it showed up to play, and they didn't shrink in the moment or any of that stuff. They just lost to a little bit better team, playing a little bit better than them yesterday to miss the Final Four.
The only regret I have, Joe, is what if they still had DJ Burns Jr. on their team? Man, what a difference that guy can make. He's fun to watch. Former Vol.
Yeah, he is. You
Kind
know,
of.
that's, yeah. Well, and we were talking about this last night. It's like, because at first I'm like, well, he wouldn't even have been on this team. But actually, he did redshirt that 19 year. So
Yeah.
this could, with the COVID year, this could have been his 5th year with Tennessee. Now, Grant Ramey brought up, he's like, think of the butterfly effect, though. There's some other people who aren't here because he's, I mean, who knows how it would have worked out.
All
The
I know
story
is
on
that
D.
dude's fun to watch. I love it.
Oh, incredible. No, I mean, he's now, I mean, they and NC State and DJ Burns, I mean, that's the story of the tournament, the fun. And shoot, man, I'm very interested to watch that go against Edie,
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like Saturday? But,
I mean, he's probably not going to get pushed around. I think we know that.
right, exactly. But I mean, it's just going to be a fascinating matchup to see how both of those teams play it. But when he was at Tennessee, I mean, it's well documented. Well, I don't know if it's well documented, but it's well known that they got him in great shape, and he had a little break, and a lot of the gains, or I guess the losses he had made, turned into gains of the bad kind. And it was basically like, nah, this is not gonna work, man. So good for him. I mean, he went to Winthrop for a few years,
He did.
and that was about where probably what his level, but look at what he's doing now. I mean, that was incredible yesterday. He just absolutely carved up Duke, and he just is having so much fun doing this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, look, I do think this is the best Tennessee team ever. And I guess, if you're a Vols fan, that's sad, because the fair question right now is, when is it going to be this good again? And another question is, and I wrote a little bit about this, and there was some discussion, like, Rick Barnes turned 70 this summer. Rick Barnes got some grandkids. Look, Rick Barnes wants to win a national title. He wants to get back to the Final Four, all that stuff. But how much more does Rick Barnes have? I mean, I think you see a lot of these coaches, these long-term successful coaches, hanging it up in this era of basketball, where you have to basically kind of re-recruit and reimagine your roster every single year. And so I expect him back next year, don't get me wrong, but I do think the question gets, fair to ask. And then again, like, when are they going to be this good again? No one had a clue a year ago. Dalton Connect. What? Okay. Oh, looks seems like a pretty good player. Yeah, good player from Rhode Island. Okay, seems like a good pickup. No one had any clue he's going to come in here and lock himself into the first round and be one of the best players in Tennessee history. You can't count on that. How good are they going to be moving forward, and what does the program look like? I mean, there's just a lot of questions, and that's where this is sad for Vols fans, because this team was so special.
Well,
And we haven't even mentioned, Connect and all that. But man, look, Josiah and Santi, those guys are not your typical college senior. They are special people, man. And that they their loss in that locker room is going to be significant.
hard to overcome. And look, the roster's gonna look pretty different next year. Now you're gonna have some people back. I mean, obviously Ziegler's gonna be back, and there's gonna be some pieces to continue to build around. And you know, Estrella is going to get more playing time next year, and they're going to be good, right? I mean, we know they're going to be good. But the question is, you know, this was kind of the loaded formula year of the experience that they had, that player in Dalton Connect that could take them to the next level, and they still are not able to break through and get to the Final Four. And again, Joe, like I do think there's a big difference. Like, you know, this is not losing to Loyola. This is losing to Purdue and a team that is better than you. And, you know, the disappointment's real. You know, Tennessee fans very upset yesterday after the game was over with. Like, one thing I was thankful for was that I didn't see a ton of, like, all right, Rick Barnes tournament time again yesterday. Like, I don't know how that could be your takeaway from the way the game went down yesterday. It was a great game between two good teams.
So did Stille actually say, like, they lost because he didn't take, like, a timeout during one of those runs? Is that, like, is he actually trying to pin this on him, or is that someone on the text line exaggerating?
I mean, I saw him tweet about it. I didn't read the whole thing, but I will go find it right now. Here it is. Tennessee lost this game when Rick Barnes, as he always does, didn't call a timeout as Purdue ran off a 9-minute run in the first half. Barkley said it at halftime that would cost Tennessee the game, and he was right. That was the tweet from Stillman.
I mean, it's just embarrassingly idiotic. Just embarrassing idiocy, and Jared just trying. So now he can blab about that today. That's a joke. There was not a 9-minute run. They had two runs where they had two runs that you put together are 9 minutes. Like I said, the 5.5-minute run, they scored 7 points in that time. It was a 7-0 run, air quotes, with Tennessee not scoring. I mean, you can call a timeout if you want, and let's talk it over. The idea that that's why they lost, they were in a tie game with 3 minutes left. That's just idiot talk. My God, Jared, I'm so embarrassed for you. There's my rant early in the day. What a joke. God.
Yeah, I mean, look.
So basically, just please let me find something I can attach so that I can make this about Rick Barnes.
Well, I've been feeling it. Like, he's been a little too nice on the Rick Barnes front throughout this whole run. So I feel like he was just setting us all up for now what's probably going to happen today, this afternoon, would be my guess.
I am so embarrassed for Jared. I am pre-embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for that tweet and embarrassed for what he's going to say today. What a joke.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Tennessee front. We'll do that coming up next. Your thoughts on the NCAA tournament. A lot of you love DJ Burns Jr. on the text line as well. What are your thoughts on all that? You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
They mean a lot, almost the world to me. It's just the thing that they gave a chance to a kid from Uruguay, which they probably never heard of before. Coming as a freshman, throwing in the fire, the trust that the coach and all the coaching staff put in me, it was just unmatchable. It meant a lot to me. And then throughout the whole year, so were my support here, as well as my teammates. Living away from your family is not easy, but having a second, or you could even consider my first family too, having them here, people that I can lean on, it means the world to me.
That was Santiago Vescovi after the game yesterday. Tennessee falls 72-66 to Purdue. Purdue advancing to the Final Four. Tennessee season comes to a close. And you can make an argument, the best Tennessee team in program history. Where do the Vols go from here? What's the next step for Rick Barnes and company as they try to rebound from this loss and eventually punch their ticket to the Final Four? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. And, Joe, you were in the locker room yesterday. I mean, you can hear it there from Vescovi. It's almost hard to listen to just how much pain he and Josiah Jordan James specifically were in after the game yesterday. It's got to be I've been in some locker rooms as you have after some soul crushing defeats. I imagine that one was a rough one yesterday.
Yeah, very. I mean, so I went press conference. Usually I just go locker room because you can get the transcript of the press conference, but I went press conference because, you know, I wanted to see what Barnes was going to say. And, you know, Josiah was obviously really emotional, but after that, halfway through the presser, I went back in the locker room, and it was the entire, all the media, and we had like all the Nashville TV was there. I mean, it was, you know, a lot of people there for the Vols, just kind of standing around saying nothing. I'm like, what's happening here? But I went up to John Burton. It's like, yeah, I mean, basically the guys who were in here said a couple words and they're done talking. And now we're just waiting for the other guys to come in. So it was just like a bunch of people standing, saying nothing in that room, you know? So I'd like went over and talked to Estrella and Vescovy a little bit, but, you know, just hushed. Yeah. Very. And some people who were just completely, I mean, Meshack was just in, he had a towel over his head. He was not in a mood to talk to anybody. Like I said, Adu didn't go in the room, you know, to talk. And actually, Ziegler didn't come back in either. Ziegler and Adu both walked off the floor after the buzzer and did not shake hands with Purdue. They were Ziegler like threw the ball up and left. I mean, he was just furious. And you know,
Isaiah Thomas,
you'd rather not. Yeah, well, I mean, you'd rather not see that. You know, you'd rather not see. I mean, I thought it was a little weird, like Edie's like taking throwing strays at Rick Barnes.
I saw that.
Almost as bad as Stilly. But I mean, I think to me, it was kind of like, for people who didn't hear it, he's like, you know, all these coaches looked over me and he's like, you know, he said like Rick Barnes, great coach. He saw me in practice. So, I mean, he had just played him. I guess he was just his example, but still I was like, wow, Edie's throwing out some stuff. Rick Barnes also throwing out F-bombs on TV, by the way, to Evan Washburn. How about that, Zach Edie?
Tough path. Went to IMG Academy and went to Purdue to play college basketball. 7'4". Overlooked.
Well, I will say, there was very – I think he was like, what, 300-some number recruit out of his class? Like, it was, you know, it was just like
– I mean, get it.
Big, but he can't
when you
play.
Look at what actually happened, it's like, okay, come on, man.
Yes, sure. I mean, it's not quite Georgia was picked to go 5-7, but yeah, a little bit there. But yeah, the Vols were especially, yeah, Josiah. I mean, that guy poured his heart out, and really, he played really well. Like you said, he didn't really shoot, didn't have a lot of opportunity to shoot, but he hit those shots early. He hit were really big.
Yep,
shot well during the tournament, and he had, you know, again, he had a mid range to put them up late. He kind of got chased off the three line, did his, he's got that little mid range in the lane and, you know, just barely missed. I mean, what if he puts them ahead there and really puts that pressure on Purdue? I mean, who knows, but yeah, he played great during this tournament. He finished really strong with his career. He was as devastated as anyone.
So
probably more than anyone.
Obviously. I mean, look, the answer of when Tennessee is going to get a player to the level of Dalton Connect that walks back through there, none of us have any idea. Like, I have no clue the next time that Tennessee basketball will have a player like Dalton Connect. So that's what makes, you know, part of moving forward here is so hard to answer exactly what it's going to mean, because you did have that guy this year along with a very experienced roster and a pretty deep roster to go along with it. So with Tennessee and the pieces that they've got coming back next year, what does the task look like in front of Rick Barnes now in order to get this team back to where they're competing at the top of the SEC and having a chance to make another deep run, knowing that I have no idea when a first-round NBA talent to the level of Dalton Connect is coming back in that program?
Well, right. That's the thing. He was absolutely overlooked as a recruit, right? And that's just a guy who worked his butt off and, you know, grew a little bit and – you know, so you hope you can have something like that develop in your program, you know? I mean, but what happens a lot is guys like that become great at a mid-major, and then, you know, places like Tennessee pluck them.
Yeah.
For the, you know, so you have to be able to win in the portal and things like that. But I mean, like next year, look, and this is a big thing in terms of Barnes. You know, Barnes is going to be the coach for Ziegler. I think Ziegler is one of his all-time favorite players. It's very clear. So Ziegler, that's a great place to start. You know, I think a couple guys that you have to look at in terms of, are they looking around? Like Tobe Awaka, he has Adu here and he has Estrella here, you know, and Estrella is going to play next year. Estrella is going to be good. There's no doubt. So, you know, that's an interesting, there's a guy you could make a case. If you went somewhere else, you'd get 28 minutes a game. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a guy. Meshack is a guy. I think that Jemai Meshack could be a really good all around player. He has to get that shot more consistent. He has to be able to shoot, and maybe he won't be able to, but everything else about his game is big time. It really is. is he a guy who would say maybe somewhere else, you know, I'd be more emphasized? You know, I don't know. I mean, I think those are the, I always look at now, you have to look at who might be looking to move on. But Cameron Carr is going to be really good. I don't think there's any question about it. He has a chance to be special. You have Gainey. So, you know, you've got the start of a good team. And then, you know, how do you fill that in? Because Adu coming back, Adu needs to put on 20 pounds of muscle.
Yep.
And he's been doing it. But if he does get there, he was a really good player this year. It's just, you know, we forget that. He just went against back-to-back seven-footers, and Tennessee had to go for stronger guys to deal with him. That's his charge, but he could be special next year. So, you know, you got to get wings. You got to get a stretch four, and you got to get a wing, and you got to get, you know, scoring. And then you have to hope that, like, you know, a team can come together like this one did and still play that amazing defense and have the great chemistry. Because the chemistry and the defense on this team were 10 out of 10.
Well, it is interesting to think about. Like, you mentioned Barnes, his age earlier. Like, how much longer does he want to do this? I mean, you know, I think everybody would agree this was the best crack that they've had at trying to punch down the door, get to the Final Four. Not that you can't get back there. I mean, they've been recruiting really well. They've been obviously attacking the transfer portal and bringing in key players that way. So, I mean, that's the thing about college basketball specifically, probably even more so than football, Joe, is when you only have a handful of guys on the roster playing, you can change over the roster pretty quickly in today's college basketball with the portal and add and all those things. So, you know, whatever Tennessee's team looks like next year, how much longer does Rick Barnes want to do this in the current landscape of college basketball? I think it's a really interesting point you bring up because, as you've said, I mean, we see coaches that have been around for a while, i.e. Nick Saban, getting out of this thing with the way that things are going right now in college sports, and I do wonder what that means for Rick Barnes and how much longer he wants to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And you know, grandkids, all the things, you know. And so, yeah, you're seeing a lot of it. And if you're Rick Barnes, you could look at it like, wow, am I going to get a team this good? You know, you could look at it that way. Yeah, but also some people just love to coach.
Yep.
And he's done a great job. He has great momentum here overall, program momentum for sure. You know, like they're going to be in there on the recruiting trail. They're going to be in there in the portal with anyone, you know, for what they've done. And just, I mean, they have all the advantages. And again, I think, you know, Ziegler for sure. I just can't imagine that, you know, he's not coaching Ziegler as a senior. But then, you know, who knows after that? I mean, if someone tells me right now Rick Barnes is going to coach for another 5 years, I could buy that too, you know?
Sure.
But you have to think about these things all across this sport, I think, for older coaches, given how much more difficult the job is in some ways.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Nashville Predators. Another tough loss for the Preds over the weekend at the hands of the Colorado Avalanche. They're giving up a ton of goals right now. What does that mean? And how do the Predators rebound now with the playoffs right around the corner? We'll get into all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.